Well, if you would, in your bulletins, there's an insert with today's, the outline for today's message. Children can be dismissed at this time. I came walking up here thinking, I'm forgetting something. And my wife just reminded me about 30 seconds prior to that. Sometimes the mind doesn't work for you, huh? But insert inside today's bulletin as we're continuing our series on the power of words. And the nature of this study is very topical. We have to go through a number of places in Scripture. And so that's why all those references are there in your bulletin. And some of us are those who use our horn a lot when we drive. Any of those in this place today? No? We want someone to move and we beep our horn. Molly's shyly putting up her hand. DJ, when he's in the car with me, he's always, if the car's not moving, Daddy, go. I can't, there's a car right in front of me, or a semi-truck right in front of me, where the light's red. But we use our horn at times, we beep. Ever try to persuade somebody to do something? Ever found yourself praying and asking God to do something in somebody's life? Ever found yourself complimenting somebody and doing nice things for somebody and then frustrated when the response you get wasn't quite what you expected to receive? Ever found yourself arguing with somebody or trying to voice your point or your opposition to something? We often find ourselves trying to change things. Change situations we're in, change people that are around us. We want people to like us. And all of these longings, the desire to influence people, sometimes we feel that with frustration. Why don't people listen to me? Have you ever found yourself saying that? Why don't people listen to me? Why don't they do what I say? And sometimes you think, I have their best interest in mind. What I'm telling them is good, it's right, it'll help them. I don't know why they won't just listen to me. And nobody heeds your advice, and we struggle with those things. And while on the surface there can be a fleshly, sometimes sinful taint to what's going on there, where we're self-focused, we want things to be the way we want them to be. We want everybody to like us. Have you ever found that sometimes you could be doing a lot of good things to people, but not really for them? Nobody wants to admit to that. And we show that. We might not think that, but somewhere in our subconscious, it's there, because when we don't receive the treatment back we expected, we get frustrated. And that shows we weren't really doing those good things to help them out. We were doing those things because they should like us. I'm nice. Why don't they? Have you ever felt like that? Why don't they like me? I'm a nice person. And why don't they listen to me? And that selfish desire that's tainted with the flesh, it's really just a taint. Because what's there underneath that is this craving that God created you with. God created us with these base sense of needs to hunger, to be loved, to be accepted, to be appreciated, to hunger, to have value and make a difference in this world and impact people's lives. And the reason why that's there is just like almost any sin issue and any righteousness issue is that it's neutral in the beginning, and our flesh and the enemy taints it and takes it the wrong direction. Or the Holy Spirit sanctifies it and moves it in the right direction. And that craving there is there for the sake of God's kingdom. That if we truly learn how to do good works and do good things for people, then as Jesus said, we become a light to people. A light that ends up causing people to crave God, to call out to God, because they experience God's love in us by the demonstration of good deeds and good works. The craving to have an impact upon the world. God wants you to have an impact on this world. So that through you, he will draw people to Jesus Christ. Through you, he will cause people to get into the center of his will and to experience all that God wants them to experience, all that God's longing to do in their lives, and then begin the work in them to spread this kingdom of God throughout the world. And that craving, though, sometimes we just can't figure out what's off. Why is it that people, do you know some people that when you see them coming, you go the other way? I still don't remember this happening, but my wife says that we knew of each other our first couple of years, but we weren't really associated with each other, and she was, her dad had come visit the campus, and they were outside one of the buildings, her and her dad and some friends, and I came walking towards them, and she says that I saw them and did a complete pivot and turned around and walked the opposite direction. Now, I don't remember this at all, but apparently it happened. The Lord must have convicted my heart and changed, but... Oh, okay. But sometimes there's people we avoid. Are there people we avoid? We find ourselves trying to stay away from, keep our distance from. Sometimes we're that person. Have you ever noticed sometimes people just don't end up being around when you're there? They're never there when you are. They never talk when you're talking. They're just staying away from you. Why is that? Have you ever noticed that some people, they don't listen to what you say? They never agree with you. They never accept your opinion, your ideas. Why is that? And you see, this ability to influence and impact people's lives, this ability to gain favor with people is very much linked to what we've been talking about, and that is the way that we talk. A lot of the way people respond to you has to do with what's coming out of your mouth. A lot of the reasons why people are listening to or not listening to what you have to say is because of what's coming out of our mouths. And if we want to do the things that God is calling us to do, we need to learn to talk the way that God wants us to talk. And on this journey so far, we've learned how to gain some motivation to start guarding our mouths. And while we tease the extroverts that talk all the time that they're the ones that are in most trouble with this issue, us introverts are also in trouble because we can't just be silent. If we're going to have an impact upon people's lives, we need to speak. And so we gain this motivation to guard this mouth by realizing the judgment that is ahead of us, that God is going to judge us for every single word that comes out of our mouth, no matter how careless or frivolous it was. Even in our casual conversation, as we speak, those words will stand before God at the judgment and be held into account for that. That our words have an impact, that they touch people's lives, that they encourage or discourage people, or make them feel good or they hurt them. We impact people's lives. We impact our lives. Again, the way we talk causes people to either be receptive to us or not want to be near us. It is impacted by the way we talk. It's revealing the things that we say. I had an experience this weekend where I said something and then had to walk away saying, that's not what I meant. Well, but it came out of my mouth for some reason. Why did it come out? And I realized there was something I meant by what I said. Your words reveal you. It exposes you. The more you talk, the more you're revealing things about yourself. And if we realize that, we might be a little careful with what comes out of our mouth. We've also learned to be armed with resources. That is, that when we have this strong relationship with the Lord, we have this capacity to speak the way that we should. When we pay attention to those red flags that show up, that God has built into our spirit and in our conscience, we have this capacity to talk the way that we should. We've also learned last week how to add value to our words, that when we speak, they're not meaningless. They don't have a lack of point, but they have purpose, they have value, they have wisdom in them. And this day, we're going to learn now, how do we begin to utilize these words to influence people? And all the references are there in your outline. And many come from the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs 16, verse 21 says, sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Proverbs 22, verse 11 says, he whose speech is gracious will have the king as his friend. That when we talk a certain way, we gain this ability to influence people, to move them in a certain direction because of the sweetness of our speech. When we talk in a certain way, people begin to become open to us. They begin to like us. They begin to want to hear what we have to say because of the things that are coming out of our mouths, the way that it's coming out of our mouths. And this is what God wants for us. God wants us to be able to influence people, because if we can't influence people, how are we going to lead them to Christ? How are we going to lead them to the place where they can find life and deliverance and all of those things? We can't do that if we don't know how to manage the words that are coming out of our mouths. In fact, Proverbs says in 16:23, the heart of the wise makes his speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips. That it should be our goal that with the way we talk, we have this ability to persuade others. But how do we do that? How do we get to this place where we can influence other people's lives? We can gain this capacity by having two components present within our lives, within the way that we talk. The first component is this, and that is to have the right tone, the right tone. Sometimes it's not about the words themselves, it's the way that you say them. And Psalms warns us of the negative effects of a tone when it says, Psalm 57:4, that their teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongues are as sharp as a sword. Psalm 59:7 says, swords are in their lips. Psalm 64:3 says that they sharpened their tongue like a sword. They aim bitter speech as their arrow. Psalm 140:3 says, they sharpened their tongue as a serpent. Proverbs 12:18 says, there is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword. When we talk, sometimes it's as if we have razor-sharp words and tones, and they hurt us, and sometimes they cut us to the very core, as it says, thrust within us. And many of you have had experiences where someone said something to you, whether it was the words themselves or the way that they said it to you, that cut you to the core. So much so that still today, there's ramifications of those words that were said to you. And if that can happen to you, how much more so can happen when we speak? And there is something to be said with the way that we say things. Like I can say, Alma, I love you. Thank you. I can also say, Alma, I love you.
Doesn't sound good.
No. Same words. Very different meaning just because of the way that I say it. I can say, I can have Joe come to me and say, Pastor Danny, how are you doing? And I can say, I'm fine. Or I can say, I'm fine. Have you ever had someone say that to you? Same exact words, different meaning. And the tone that comes out of our mouths sends a message, and it has an impact. And some of us, when we talk, we have a very harsh tone. We're hard in the way that we speak. We're reactive. There's a seeming lack of love in the word. The words themselves might be right. The words themselves might be uplifting and true. But the way that we say it is just rough. It's just hard. And not that tone is necessarily a sin issue. Not that tone is necessarily outside of God's will. It's just if you really want to come to that place where you can influence people, you have to come to grips with reality that people don't like to hear harsh tones and rough talk towards them and the anger that seems to come at times or the sarcasm that seems to come out, though the words themselves might be right. And if you want to be able to influence people, sometimes our words are like nails on a chalkboard or any other sounds that are annoying. And if you find yourself seeing people run when you come, either it's because you're like me, you keep recruiting people to do stuff, or it could be because of the way that we're saying things. It could be the words themselves as well. And again, not necessarily a sin issue. But if you want to be persuasive, if you want to be the wise man that the Proverbs is calling us to be, if you want to influence people for Christ, then the tone has to be the right kind of tone. In fact, Scripture tells us of two types of tones that we're encouraged to have. First is this, gentle. Deuteronomy 32, verse 2, the prayer is, "May my speech distill as the dew, like gentle rain upon the tender grass." What imagery there. Can you sense that? Just this soft mist, just gently resting on the grass. That is the way our words should come out of our mouths. Added to that is Proverbs 15, verse 4, says, "A gentle tongue is a tree of life." Or elsewhere in Proverbs, it says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath." There should be this softness to the way that we speak. Not that we can't ever raise our voices, not that there's never a time of correction, but there should be this gentle, loving, caring nature with the way that we carry ourselves, with the way that we speak to people. There should be gentleness. There should be grace. Our speech should be gracious. Our tone should be gracious. Proverbs 15:26 says, "The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but gracious words are pure." Proverbs 16:24 says, "Gracious words are like honeycomb." Proverbs 22:11 says, "He whose speech is gracious will have the king as his friend." Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your speech always be gracious as though seasoned with salt." This should be the way we're talking to people. In fact, I worked for a pastor who had this ability to correct a person and make them feel like they were just given a big compliment. But you knew that you were being corrected. You knew that there was something you were being asked to change. But somehow he said it in a tone and a way that made you feel the love that he had for you, the compassion he had for you, the understanding that he had for you. And when someone corrects you that way, it makes you want to do what they're asking you to do. DJ that I mentioned that tells me, "Daddy, go," he has the sweetest way to ask for anything that he asks for, that even if it's asking for candy for breakfast, he almost makes you want to give it to him because, "Daddy, can I have a piece of candy, please?" And he gives you this sweet smile, and because it's gentle, it's gracious, it's loving, it's a warm, open response. And isn't that how God so many times shows up at our door with this warmth and this love and this graciousness? "Well, but that's just the way that I am. They just need to get thicker skin on, toughen up, just stop, you know, sticks and stones break my bones, but words will never hurt me. They just need to get over it. This is the way I am." You can keep telling yourself that, but you are not going to influence people if you don't show your love and care and concern and compassion and understanding for them by what's coming out of our mouths and the way it's coming out of our mouths. And if we're ever truly going to influence people to come to know Jesus Christ, then this has to be a part of who we are. Because I'm telling you, it's persuasive. Proverbs says it's persuasive, that it carries favor with people. People don't hate typically. They don't hate nice, loving, caring, affectionate people. People who give things to them. People who do things for them. People don't typically hate those kind of people. But we do avoid those who are hard and challenging and difficult and tell it like it is. "Thank you for telling it like it is. This is the last time I'll be speaking to you." But it says we're supposed to speak the truth. Yes, speak the truth in love. Yes, speak the truth as just a seasoning. The whole meal is grace. Amen? We can get this. We can gain this capacity for influence in people's lives by having the right tone, and secondly, by having the right goal. Having the right goals in mind when we're speaking. When we speak, and I know some of us, just as soon as it comes in our mind and our heart, it just flies right out of our mouth. But Proverbs says, "Be slow to speak and quick to listen." And so every word must be precisely chosen and used carefully in the way we expressed it. And when we say it, it should have these goals in mind. First, to preserve life. In fact, earlier verse, I forgot the reference, Proverbs 16:23. No, where is that? I know there was a verse that's somewhere on here hidden in my puzzle up here. But there's a verse that says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. You're just going to have to read all those references to find out which one that is. Some of you got that. But Proverbs 15 verse 4 says, a gentle tongue is a tree of life. Proverbs 10 verse 11 says, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. That it's life-giving. Anybody heard that song, Toby Mac, Speak Life? That the things that come out of our mouth should be uplifting and encouraging? And yet sometimes we're often killing things when we talk. Destroying stuff. What is it that we end up destroying? When we react to the dreams that people share with us, we respond to it, whether it's in word or tone or the expressions on our face. Because people know when they share their idea with you and your expression is this. They know that doesn't mean great idea. Okay, you didn't say anything with your mouth, but you said something with your face. And when you react, sometimes you're killing someone's dream. When you respond to the way somebody is trying to do well in their marriage with discouragement, and despair, and you're putting down their spouse in front of them, you're killing a marriage, destroying it, breathing death into it. When you find yourself talking to people about their involvement in the body of Christ, coming to church, ministry, their study of the Scripture and seeking God, if you speak in a way that's discouraging it or dismissing it or telling them it's okay, you don't need to do those things, you're speaking death to their ability to seek God and to live the way that He's calling them to live. Sometimes we're speaking death to people's sense of well-being. Their sense of security by the names we're calling them and the insults that we're throwing at them, all in the name of sarcasm and tongue-in-cheek and jesting, when in reality somebody is dying on the inside because there's power in the things that we say. Life and death is in the power of the tongues. Instead, when we speak, we should speak life. Did you know you can actually cause somebody to go on a different course with their marriage, with their dreams, with their ministry, with their finances, with the way they're living, with righteousness and obedience to God? You can send someone on a different course just by the way you speak to them. You can awaken. Have you ever had someone say something to you and it just awoken this thing within you, that all of a sudden you had this confidence, you knew that you could do all things through Christ who strengthens me because of a word that someone said? And not that words control things, but there is power in the words. Why do you think it is we have the Word of God? Why do you think that it is when God created the earth, He spoke it into existence? Because there is power, there is life and death in the power of the tongue, and we must make sure that before we speak, is this going to bring life to this person, or is this going to bring death to this person? Our goal should be to preserve life. Our goal should be to positively impact a person's physical, mental, and emotional health. Proverbs 10:21 says, the lips of the righteous feed many. That is, with the spoken word, we provide sustenance to people. Proverbs 16:23, that word that says gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Proverbs 31 verse 9 says, open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. That the word you speak can give health to the body. That's bizarre to think about. And yet there's been so much study and so much research of late in the medical community about the damage that stress can do on a person's body. and how many times we can have physical ramifications just because of anxiety and worry and fear, and all of those emotions evoke hardships on our body. And your very presence can be evoking those things in people because of the things you've said to them, because of the way that you express yourself to them. Are there not people in your life that you just, you felt great until you found them? And now all of a sudden you feel anxious, you feel tense, you feel aggravated, and you're thinking, why do I feel this way all of a sudden? Oh, because I ran into so-and-so. Now I know why I feel that way. Or there are people who have the opposite effect, that you run into them and you are feeling down and discouraged and in despair, and you run into them and all of a sudden you're skipping and you feel on top of the world. You don't know why that is. Because somebody knew how to demonstrate God's love through their expressions to you, with their tones, with their facial expressions, with their words. This is the impact you can have on people. Either life or death, this is the impact you can have on people. You could be hurting people's mental health, their emotional health, their physical health, just by what you say. Well, they should get thicker skin. Well, I'm a nobody. I don't know why they're listening to me. Because you said it. You don't realize that it doesn't matter if you're a pastor. It doesn't matter if you're the president, if you're the boss, the husband, the wife. It doesn't matter. When you speak, it does something. It either brings life or death. And we have this capacity to make people better by the things that we say. But why aren't we doing that? We have to make sure that when we speak, is this going to bring life or death? When I speak, is this going to make them feel good, feel uplifted, feel empowered, or is it going to discourage them and make them fall into despair? And not that this means that we're supposed to speak some kind of prosperity gospel and that we're supposed to make people feel good in their sins, but the third goal that is expressed to us in Scripture is that we ought to speak with the goal of encouragement and strength. It says in the Scripture in 1 Corinthians 14:26, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. We're speaking. Let all things be done for building up. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up. 1 Thessalonians 4:18 says, therefore encourage one another with these words. Hebrews 10, you can add to that, Hebrews 10, 23 through 25, when it talks about us not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, it says so that we can encourage one another. I don't know what it is that makes us think that when we're inside a building with a steeple, or when we find ourselves armed with this book, that we think we need to tear everybody down. That we need to make sure that we point out everybody's flaws and make them feel miserable. Did you know that the gospel is called good news? Did you know that? The gospel isn't called gloom and doom, you stink, and you're just a lousy person and nobody likes you. That's not the gospel. And while, yes, there's time to confront, and yes, there were seasons that God called prophets to be rather hard in their message, most of the instructions that you see as far as the manner in which we're supposed to share our faith with others is love and encouraging and building up and edifying, uplifting. These are the ways that we should be speaking. And if that's not the way we're speaking, nobody's going to ever listen to a thing you have to say. It won't matter how true it is. It won't matter how theologically sound the ideas you have are. And this is why many times the church has lost people, not because they didn't have the truth, not because they didn't have the things that would set them free, but because they didn't care about them. And so what the people did is they left and they looked for someone who would care about them. And it didn't matter. That's why you have cults that have followers who will follow them to their death in a way that's completely absurd and illogical. Why? Because someone showed them love. Because someone demonstrated love to them. And in the Word, there is power in the words that we speak, that we can breathe life into people or we could breathe death into people. And understand, by the way that you talk, you can be the cause of a marriage, your own or somebody else's, to succeed and be happy and joyful. You can be the cause of your children and other people's children following the Lord for all the days of their life. You could be the cause for someone to recover from depression, anxiety, things that they're taking a pill for. And while that might help, that might be an aid for a season, you with your words can set people free. Just simply by the way that we speak. Isn't that so convicting? Isn't that such a challenging thing that the Scripture presents before us? Because we want so often to feel spiritual and excuse ourselves when we're being combative. But is that really what God is calling you to do? Because the goal isn't simply, even though when we share our faith, we're supposed to tell the gospel, and it's not our responsibility to save them, and we know all that stuff. But the goal still is that when we speak well. And we say it in a way that persuades them. Our goal should still be to want them to get saved, to want them to accept Christ. And so we shouldn't just walk away and say, well, it's on them. Oh, well, they're going to hell. Oh, well, they're going to hell. Oh, well, they're just going to keep staying in debt. Oh, well, they're just going to keep doing that destruction. What do you mean, oh, well? Oh, well, we should step back and say, all right, well, maybe there's something else I can say, something else I can do. Maybe there's a better way that I can say this, because we ought to try to learn how to be persuasive. And it's by every time we speak, asking that question, how's this going to sound? Are they going to take this as love or hate? Are they going to take this as a self-focused comment or something that is showing genuine concern for them? When it comes out of my mouth, is it going to bring life or death? Is it going to make them feel favorable towards me, or is it going to make them run? Is it going to make them feel uplifted and encouraged and motivated towards God, or is it going to do the opposite? What is this going to do to them? Is this encouraging them? Because even, like I said, even in your correction, you can encourage them and say, listen, you can do this. I know you're having this trouble, this difficulty and hard time with this, but you can do this. You can still be a cheerleader in your correction. But do you want to do that? Would you stand with me, worship team? Will you come and prepare to lead us? Life and death in the power of the words that we speak. And I told you last week that we were going to begin to start to talk about not just the things we should not say, but the things that we should. So the pressure is not just on the people who do the talking. Okay, maybe the people who do the talking need extra guard as far as the things not to say. But some of us, when do we ever say thank you? When do we ever say I love you? When do we ever express to someone how we feel about them? Well, they should just know. But do they know? And there is so much life that be given if we start to speak the way God wants us to speak. And I want you to, let's do a Lord, I give you my heart. Are you starting to realize that sometimes, maybe in your own life, the damage that you've experienced in your relationships, the damage that you've experienced in your life, might actually rest right upon your own shoulders? That perhaps the reason why this relationship is fragile, that this relationship is challenging, is because of the way I've been talking. And the other party, maybe they have done some things that are wrong. But have I encouraged that? Have I drawn that out of them because of the way that I've been treating them? The way that I've not been there, not been present, not been speaking? What is it that is resting right upon me? Are there things that you need to make right this morning? Things you need to take to the Lord and say, I'm sorry, Lord, for carrying myself this way. I'm sorry for excusing things as just, that's just me. That's just the way I am. That's the way I've always been. And ask the Lord to give us the empowerment to speak the way He did. Ask the Lord to help us to remove the blinders from us, to escape the ignorance that keeps us from realizing the things that we're doing with what we're saying. And may we gain this motivation by the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives to begin to speak. Because listen, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, what almost always happens when someone's filled with the Holy Spirit is they speak. Whether it's speaking in tongues, whether it's prophecy, whether it's preaching. Every time the Holy Spirit came upon someone, they spoke. But they spoke with God's words in their mouth. And don't you want to be this person who has the capacity to influence people? Then in a moment, I want to ask you to come as they lead us. Let's seek the Holy Spirit to do a work in our lives, because you are capable. You are able to influence people's lives. Even though you might be shy, you might be quiet, you might not have a lot of friends, you might have a lot of issues in your life, but you have the Holy Spirit within you if you are willing to ask Him to be within you to do a work. And you are capable. Amen? Let's seek Him.
And the Lord said, do not be dismayed. Do not be fearful. Do not be worried about what you are going through, for I am your God. I created you to be an example of my love to others. People may discourage you and speak false things to you, things not of my choice. If you choose fear over my love, then understand what that choice is you've made. If you choose to believe what others speak into your life rather than my word, understand what will follow. I choose to bless you, to have the Holy Spirit direct your path, to give you guidance of which way to go, to speak truth into matters, to change situations for good. Trust me. Walk with me. See what doors I will open that no one else can. Abide with me and be blessed by me. To be helped by me beyond your imagination. Invite me into your life. I would love to walk with you.
Lord, we're asking that you do a transformation in our hearts. Lord, it is so difficult to get our eyes off of our own needs, off of our own wants and comforts, because we have many of them. There's so many things that we wrestle with and struggle with. But Lord, we're asking that you would help us to be focused on the work of the Holy Spirit and to be focused on other people, Lord. And that it wouldn't just be that we'd be kind and nice and loving to people so that we can get people to respond to us, so that we can gain a friend, Lord, but that the ultimate purpose would be so that we can bless people, that we can make people feel the love of God, that we can draw more people to you to add to the voices of the chorus that will sing for all eternity praises to our Savior. May we have a part in that, Lord, to add more people into your kingdom because of our love for you and because of our love for people. Awaken this within us, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you, and we saw this a couple weeks ago, the prayer by the psalmist, I ask, Lord, that you would put a guard over our mouths, that you would put a filter over us. Lord, we're surrendering and we're wanting to put forth our effort by your help to say the right things and speak the right way. But we're asking that you would put a filter over us, that you would put a check within our heart, that you would allow us to feel this strong conviction when we begin to speak something that is not of you. That you would put this strong push within us, that when we find ourselves hesitant and refraining to speak when we should, that you would move us forward to speak things, Lord, that generate life. Because your word, Lord, is the word of life. Because you, Lord, came to bring life and life more abundantly. You came, Lord, as you said in your prayer, that our joy may be made complete. And made complete in you. And so we're asking, Lord, soften us and help us to, Lord, be a true representation of Jesus Christ. For your glory, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.